This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, September 28, 2024. Votive Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
They understood not his word. It was hid from them. They perceived it not. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those words that our Lord speaks in that gospel, it almost seems like he doesn't want them to understand. That would contradict because he says, lay up these words in your hearts. Okay, what does he mean by this? Where is this going if it's not a contradiction? Our Lord is admonishing that we need, because if it was just for his disciples, we would have it in scripture. It is about us that we and they need to lay up in our hearts his words. Everything that we see him do, it's just not a matter of what he says. It's a matter of your experience with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a matter of, you know, living through your life and seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and the words of others, how things play out, how if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, from your past life kind of get fit into place. This is where, lay up in your hearts these things. Think seriously about what you have seen and heard. This is what our Lord is communicating to them. And he expects us to do this. Now, what happens when we do this in our cooperation with the graces, that's a different story. Because, you know, why is our Lord given the context of the gospel? Why is our Lord saying this to his disciples? Because at this point, they're walking with the rabbi. They're walking with the one who hundreds of people follow. We're walking with the one who St. Peter has said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus confirms that for them. So they're basically on cloud nine at this point. This is Jesus. He's the Messiah. This is happening. Okay, everything's great. And things are about to take a very sudden southward turn as far as using our terminology. Things are going to go from extremely great and being attentive to appreciating who our Lord is and, again, glorying and being able to walk with Messiah to, in a few days, he's going to be betrayed. Everybody's going to run from him. He's going to be beaten, spat upon, crucified, buried. This is what they're looking for. Our Lord wants them to know before that happens, you need to lay up in your hearts those things that you have seen and you heard. This is what he's talking about. And this applies to us also, because our Lord wants, and he will not go out of his way. And again, this is something where people read this portion of scripture, and particularly your Calvinist friends, they like to look at it. It was hid from them so that they perceived it not. Why is it that people read that? Again, it would make no sense whatsoever. Lay these things up in your heart, and then he keeps them from understanding. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It would actually be an imperfection for him to tell them to do something, and they couldn't do it, or he would keep them from doing it. It was hid from them so that it's not it's a consequence. It is not the purpose. It was not our Lord's purpose to keep them from hearing. They just didn't, they weren't attentive enough. So it's a consequence of their inattention and their of not paying. How many times our Lord, when he's talking about all kinds of things, not just his crucifixion, like the kingdom. How many times he's talking about the kingdom and they just seem never to get it? Because why? Because their minds are just always earthbound. They're Eucharist, the same thing there. How is this man going to give his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? They don't get it because they can't. And by can't, I mean it's impossible for them. They won't jump the tracks. they won't be attentive. They won't lay them up in their hearts because their hearts are too cluttered with the things of this world and the way the world does things. This is what our Lord taught. So he's not keeping it from them. It was hid from them. It was hid from them because of their lack of attention, and they perceived it not because of that lack of attention. This is what's going on. So Jesus doesn't tell them to do something and then keep them from doing it. Okay, that wouldn't make sense. And again, it would be an imperfection in our Lord. Because what we're talking about here is, no matter how cloudy our hearts can be to things that our Lord says, he will penetrate that if he so desires. These men who he tells to do something, they perceive it not, they can't understand it. After Pentecost, what's going to happen? Boom. These guys are all going to go to the death for him. I mean, literally. Nothing will waver in their faith. They're going to be teaching others out of what our Lord has taught them, what they've laid up in their hearts, and they're going to share with other people. This is what our Lord will do in his providence by opening our eyes. This is how he works. So this is something to be appreciated by all of us who the Holy Spirit works at, and you deepen your faith. This is exactly what we're talking about. How much did we hear about our faith when we were kids? How much parents took you to church, you did this, you ate your confirmations and all this stuff like that. And all of a sudden, people kind of drift, all this stuff you've heard your whole life. You've seen how this family lives in faith. And all of a sudden, you get this falling away and that falling away. And all this kind of stuff. We need to understand that we are so taken aback by that. We are so overwhelmed by that. Because why? Because you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they don't yet. That's the big thing right there. We don't know how God's going to work. So we need to be attentive to what we've seen and what we've heard and apply that to our lives, try to teach it to others, particularly those who are very close to us, and then let God's providence work. This is how we work in life. We are admonished to do the same thing as the disciples, lay up in our hearts his words. Today, the Saturday, the Blessed Virgin Mary. How many times do we hear of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the gospel? We don't hear all that much about her, but several times when we do hear about her, what is she doing? Laying up the things that she's seeing and hearing in her heart. Why? Because the Blessed One, the Immaculate One, she doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. Simeon the priest, the angel came and said, this is going to be the Messiah, the Son of God. I believe that. I give him my fiat. And then I go to the temple and Blessed Simeon the priest, he's going to take the baby. Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then in the same breath, and a sword's going to pierce your soul. Can you imagine, Blessed Mother? Where the heck did that come from? I've had angels, you're telling me, you can leave because you've seen God's salvation, and all of a sudden my soul's going to be pierced. She loses them in the temple for 3 days. Her and St. Joseph going around looking for them, sorrowing. And, then he looks at what he finds. They find him, and he looks at, why did you seek me? Didn't you know about my father's business? And she laid these things up in her heart. Why? Because she didn't get that. If the Immaculate One's not going to understand all the stuff that's going on, we're not going to either. But we need to be like her and just be absolutely faithful when this comes to it, because this is the way life pans out for us. Our life is a progress. We are not like the angels and have infused knowledge. We learn everything from experience. Everything. There is not a thing that we learn by infused knowledge. We experience hearing God's word in church when we're kids and things like that. It's not infused. We have to work through it and how we experience things. And unfortunately, a lot of us like to experience stuff that's not good for us in youth. That first reading today, prime. Ecclesiastes. There's probably not another place in Scripture where you can go where it is more succinct and put before us in such a clear manner about how life works. It starts out, rejoice therefore, O young man, and thy youth, and know that God will bring thee into judgment. Put away evil from thy flesh, for youth and pleasure are vain. That's young people. That's not the only place in Scripture. This is just a God's presentation of, you better be careful as you live your life, because if do not approach it, I can do whatever I want when I'm young, because I'm not going to have to worry about death until I get older. No, he puts us on notice that we need to lay up these things, his commandments in our hearts, for instance, because we're going to be judged on them. But he doesn't badmouth youth. He'd be very careful with it. He actually makes some statements that actually make it sound, you know, youth is a good time. It really is. Youth is a good time if you temper it correctly. Unfortunately, most of us don't. It just kind of gets out of hand. It gets so out of hand that you don't pay attention to what you're supposed to be paying attention to. You pay attention to the world. And this is why our Lord is trying to admonish us not to do that. Because after he talks about youth, and it's, hey, youth is great. Be careful. Be careful, because God is going to judge everything that you do. Then he starts talking about the aging process. And I read this like 20, 25 years ago. Yeah, that just sounds like when people get old. And now as I get older, I'm starting to like really, really appreciate it. But he goes through all this illustrative language, all these analogies of how it is to get old. And it ain't pretty. It's not pretty, and it's very true, particularly if you live it. And look at the descriptions of how our physicality degrades. How, because of our physicality degrading, we start to become fearful of things that we weren't fearful about, you know, when I can take care of that. You can't take care of it. And you start to be fearful about that. And this progress goes on and on and on. And basically the old adage applies. And this is, I guess you put it in a nutshell. You know, life is very hard, difficult, and ugly. And then you die. This is the presentation. Old age. And again, he goes through all those things, and then that final, and then you die. And the dust returned into its earth from whence it was, and the spirit returned to God who gave it. This is the progress of your life. So during this progress of your life, you need to lay up in your hearts my words. Because why? Because life is uncertain. The uncertainties of life. How many people have woken up in the morning in their late 20s, mid-20s, early 30s, hey, I'm on my way to work. I'm just going to work, just like another day and everything. And they never come home because of the car crash. You know, things like that. The uncertainties of life, they happen. Hurricanes and stuff like that. I'm going to do this. We're going to do that. And everything. And all of a sudden, this is the reality. The uncertainties of life. We have to, because the uncertainties of life and the death is inevitable. But the uncertainties of life are also inevitable. The vicissitudes of life, so to speak. Those things we're not planning on that happen to us, these are the things that we need to have them in our mind. We shouldn't walk around worrying about these things. But when they happen, we shouldn't be all that surprised about it. Frustrated, yes. Sad, yes. Whatever the reaction might be, yes. But in a nutshell, step back almost immediately. Okay, obviously what you want in your providence. So the uncertainties and inevitability of life, it's not a matter of just, okay, they can have, be prepared. Because they're not to be avoided. Again, the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's kind of sad for her because usually, you know, people work up to a strong faith. They work up to it. The Blessed Virgin Mary is like almost the opposite. You know, you got angels showing up and talking to you, and you're going to be the mother of God and all this kind of, you know, that's at the very beginning. So where is it? There is nowhere to go up from that. So what happens, you know, through her whole life, the sword will pierce your own soul, losing him in the temple, all those sorrows that she endured in her life. You think about it, it's like she's at the high point and goes down. Praise God, for us, it's usually the opposite. We're usually like down here in our spirituality when we're young, and it progresses higher. This is something we need to appreciate about the Blessed Virgin Mary, because even though what happened to her happened, she remained absolutely faithful. She did not complain about it. She laid these things up in her heart. Oh, and Simeon the priest said a sword will pierce her, and so she went home and got in the fetal position, didn't come out for 3 weeks because she was clinically depressed. Okay, no. No, she did. She went home and became a mother until St. Joseph came waltzing in one night and said, hey, we pack up everything. We're going to Egypt in the middle of the night. It just goes downhill from there. This is the life of our Blessed Mother, because why could she relate? Because she had faith. She had faith, and she knew, obviously, of the uncertainties of life. That reading, all these things are done, God will bring into judgment for every error, whether it be good or evil. Sounds kind of weird. I think he's just going to judge bad stuff. It said, well, no, he judges good stuff too, but it says that he will bring into judgment every error, both good and bad. What's that about? I don't know. I read that all the time. I'm not really going to go. Why is that? Because God's judgment is uncertain. His judgment is uncertain. Not the fact that he will or will not judge. It is a certainty that he will. How he does it on each individual case is truly uncertain. The old adage, we're probably going to be very surprised about people that we see in heaven. And we'll probably be equally surprised by people we don't see when we get to heaven. Why? Because his judgment is uncertain. It's not flighty. It's not arbitrary. But we don't judge souls. We don't understand that we're not the searcher of hearts. He is. So his judgment is not going to be in accord with the way we perceive his judgment to be. How God will judge is even uncertain. So our whole life is just uncertain. We serve God. We just need to do what, and I love when readings in scripture like put everything like in a, because it very rarely happens, in a very, very clear and precise way. The end of that reading, we didn't get those parts because there's a couple verses on, but it's the actual end of Ecclesiastes. Let us all hear together the conclusion of the discourse. Fear God and keep his commandments. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.